Manx Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Friday, the 23rd of May. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome into 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom tonight. A major housing developer is under fire over claims of substandard roofing on new builds. The Speaker of the House of Keys has spoken out after the Tynwald Standards Committee suffered a setback when its report into the Chief Minister was rejected. And road racing returns to the islands, getting underway this evening for the pre-TT. All those stories and more, do get in touch if you want to comment on anything you hear. Text WhatsApp to 166 177 or email studio@manxradio.com. First of all, though, let's join Siobhan Fletcher for the latest headlines. Fast am I.
The chair of a committee that called for the Chief Minister to withdraw remarks accusing the former Health Minister of fabrication and gaslighting says he's concerned Tynwald has accepted a lower standard of debate. The Tynwald Standards and Members' Interest Committee found that Alfred Cannon's comments about Laurie Hooper in October last year were unacceptable, but the committee's recommendations failed to gain support in the island's parliament earlier this week, something June Watson told Manx Radio raises concerns.
We've just passed legislation about gaslighting. It's a serious thing. My concern really is that what Tynwald has done is it has lowered the standard of debate and accepted a lower standard of behaviour when dealing with our colleagues.
The Education Minister has defended not releasing full school review reports or revealing how much they cost. Daphne Kane says disclosing the figures could harm future contract negotiations and warns publishing the documents could damage staff morale. The Department of Infrastructure says resolving a surface water issue on the mountain road is critical to ensuring the safety and viability of the upcoming TT races. It's confirmed the issue was discovered at Brandywell Corner where resurfacing work took place earlier this month after a private contractor spilled a type of adhesive on the route. We are awaiting a further update from the department. And Michael Dunlop, the most successful TT rider of all time, has had a corner on the Snaefell Mountain course dedicated to him in honour of his achievements. Further afield, the United Nations chief says the amount of aid getting into Gaza amounts to a teaspoon when a flood is required.
The needs are massive and the obstacles are staggering.
Antonio Guterres claims 80% of Gaza is now a no-go zone for Palestinians. Donald Trump says trade talks with Brussels are getting nowhere as he recommends a 50% tax on all imports from the EU. And firefighters are battling a large blaze at a recycling warehouse in Northamptonshire. They were called to Sanders Lodge Industrial Estate in Rushton this morning. A major incident has been declared. There are your headlines. I'll have your news at 6.
Good reminder. Thank you for that, Siobhan. Now let's take a quick look at the weather, brought to you now by Manx Glass and Glazing. Rain will soon develop this evening, turning persistent and heavy for a time before becoming more patchy overnight. Mainly moderate winds with temperatures tonight no lower than 12 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow, though, will be a mostly cloudy day, but with a little patchy rain possible and plenty of dry conditions before heavier outbreaks of rain develop during the evening. The south or southwest winds will increase fresh to strong later, maximum temperatures of 16 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbridge Trading Estate.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Delshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tramode Estate, view filshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zet's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zet's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
SMS Trading have moved to 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. For flat pack to fully built, new or second-hand furniture, SMS Trading offer all-island delivery and man-in-a-van service. Call 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
At Bigode Cattery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cattery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. Contact Bigode Cattery on 676 947 or find Bigode Cattery on Facebook.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
5 minutes past 5, and we'll start with something that's just come through to us in the last couple of minutes. A Peel man who spent several years helping to clear unexploded bombs and devices in Ukraine is making his final journey home today. Christopher Garrett, an armed forces veteran, had been working with the humanitarian charity Prevail Together, of which he was chairman, when he was killed in the war-torn country earlier this month. His remains arrived back on the islands on the Loganair flight from Heathrow at 3:24 this afternoon. Chris's childhood friend, Matt Lambert, is leading the Mordidoo motorbike escort back to Peel. He spoke to Manx Radio's Chris Pearson.
As you can see, he's made such an impact. His legacy is going to live on forever. He's saved so many people, and he will. His knowledge and skill set and training is going to save many more to come as well.
What was Chris like as a mate?
He was a great guy. He was funny. He was a bit of a daredevil. You know, I want to say it's a massive shock that this has happened, but at the end of the day, he wasn't disarming kittens, was he? He was an EOD specialist and expert, and, you know, it's unfortunately comes with the territory of its responsibility, but the sacrifices Gev, you know, as I said just before, his legacy is going to live on, and he's a hero to everyone over it, because the Isle of Man is such a small community as well. You know, it just shows you how we can all stick together and come up and be there for him when it means.
What's it going to feel like escorting Chris today on that final journey back to Peel?
Very emotional. I was honoured to be asked by Jim Quinn. He's a very close friend of mine. He helped me get out of Ukraine when I was due to leave after 3 months being there. It's a strange feeling, because the last time I was in a convoy with Chris, we were in Kyiv. I didn't think the next time it was going to be happening, he would be, you know, in ash form behind us. So it's heartbreaking.
An emotional day, but a really important day for you.
It is indeed. We just want to be there for his family, you know, his partner, his mother, his daughter, and all his friends.
Chris Pearson speaking to Matt Lambert as Christopher Garrett returns home after being killed in Ukraine. Well, if you've been on social media lately, you've probably seen a video circulating from someone that calls themselves the Roofing Outlaw. The social media personality visited the island and has since raised concerns about the quality of some of the new builds. But are things really as bad as they've been made out? Amy Griffiths has been finding out more.
Just in case you haven't seen it, this is a snippet of the video that certainly got people talking.
So I'm here on the Isle of Man doing a roof report. So the building there has been left. There's no ventilation in the eave. The insulation is now being pulled back. As you can see, we have got mould everywhere on the membrane. I mean, I can even taste it in the back of my throat, that. Ridiculous, no ventilation.
That's Jeff Smith, otherwise known as the Roofing Outlaw. With nearly 200,000 followers on Facebook and almost 15,000 on TikTok, he claims to be a roofer on a mission to make roofing great again. Jeff's been telling me what prompted his visit.
So a lady contacted me from the housing estate in question, and she mentioned that her children were poorly. So I came to find out exactly what it is. When I first entered the housing estate, I was immediately shocked at the condition of the buildings. I can clearly see moisture passing out of the wall on all levels of the building. The fact that these mould spores are inside the cavity, there is no way to remove it. So there's a real problem. Some of these buildings might even have to be knocked down.
For those affected, it's understandably caused a lot of concern. The woman who contacted Jeff, who wants to stay anonymous, says she even had to move out of her home amid safety concerns. The housing estate in question was built by Dan Dara, who's given us this statement.
We are aware of a recent social media post that misrepresents our roofing and ventilation. Every roof is fitted with a breathable membrane that meets Isle of Man Building Control and NHBC standards.
And that statement is also something that's supported by Richard Striven. He's an independent property developer and also a trained surveyor. He's given me his thoughts on the situation.
Looking at it logically, I believe that with a harsh winter that we've had one of the harshest ones that I've known for a long time. You've had the hot meets the cold, which has given the condensation, which has formed the black mould within the loft.
So if these properties have been built to the right specifications, is there a problem with the specifications themselves? I asked the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture for a response. A spokesperson says the department is aware of the concerns raised in the video and is taking them seriously. The matter requires further investigation, though, so say it wouldn't be appropriate to comment in detail or take part in an interview at this stage.
That's Amy Griffiths there speaking to Jeff Smith, the roofing outlaw, and also Richard Striven, the independent property developer and trained surveyor. 5:10, and the Education Minister's defending a decision not to release full school review reports or say how much they've cost so far. Daphne Kane says revealing the figure could affect future contract talks and claims it could even harm staff morale. Ramsey MHK Laurie Hooper has asked for the cost of the reviews, but the minister's now seeking permission not to answer, saying it's not in the public interest. I sat down with Mrs. Kane to ask why.
Either we could find that nobody wants to pitch for government contracts because this is public, or we could find that we are losing the competitiveness and having a true procurement exercise of getting the best bid possible. Every school and educational service is assessed against a framework that we are now finalising. And the outcome of that is a wealth of information, but sometimes can be personal to an individual, to an individual area or to a subject. The findings overall are captured in that public information. The detailed breakdown that goes into the school would be damaging if that were to be made public.
But if you were a prospective parent looking to send your child, you're trying to make a decision, do I send them to KWC or do I send them to one of the state-funded schools? I can't see how well this school's performing. I can see how well KWC is performing. You won't tell me how this school is performing because you're saying it could be damaging.
I'm not saying it's damaging. I'm saying there is public-facing information that captures all aspects of the learning that came out of the independent quality assessment of each school and educational service. Every school has the public information posted on their individual school's website.
That was a very watered-down summary.
It isn't a
watered-down
summary.
One A4 page worth.
It isn't a watered-down summary. We have taken from this that we can go back with Etio and adjust how that information is presented and the amount of information that we provide to the parent and carers. But if that was to be made public, firstly, I don't think it should be when this they have gone into this trusting that this is the system that is the one that we've been working to. And secondly, there is no benefit in having an individual. I mean, there would be all sorts of negative fallout from that.
Garth MHK and Education Minister Daphne Kane speaking there. And, MHK Laurie Hooper has told us if the figures aren't handed over, he'll push to compel the department through the Public Accounts Committee's scrutiny powers. What are your thoughts on that? Text WhatsApp to 166 177 or you can email studio@manxradio.com.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Well, Douglas needs both improve the quality and increase the number of its social houses, according to a newly elected councillor. This is David Cretney, who first served on the council in the 1980s before spending over 30 years representing Douglas South in the House of Keys. He's told the Man in Line that housing has always been raised as an issue by his constituents throughout his political career. But Mr. Cretney believes it will take a joined-up approach with the central government to tackle the issue.
All the time I was a member of the House of Keys, housing was the top issue. It was the top issue at the last general election, House of Keys, and I'll be doing my bit to try and make sure we have affordable housing for people in our city.
OK, so what needs to be done for affordable housing in Douglas?
Well, we need to work with the government, and I think, as Tony Brown said when he was on here talking, it's easier, perhaps, when you've been in that institution to be able to make the links, to be able to talk to people, perhaps some of whom were former colleagues, and try and encourage them to work together to get things done. Tony Brown was very good to me. In Pulrose, the corporation had no policy in relation to refurbishment of Low Pulrose. It had been refurbished once. It didn't work. I organised a number of meetings with residents, and Tony Brown went to the Treasury Minister, and we got the money, and we got Lower Pulrose done, and that's my greatest achievement.
So does Douglas need more or better social housing?
It needs a combination of both. There's been work ongoing, obviously, in relation. The Williston flats will be occupied and opened before the end of the year. The scheme on Peel Road of apartments, that's really welcomed. Obviously, I used to represent Lord Street in the House of Keys, and that's now vacant. There's an offer in for it. I don't know the detail because I've not been at the meeting yet. But continuing, there's a number of brownfield sites around Douglas, long overdue work. Let's hope we can work in cooperation. And if you look at it from a financial point of view, doing housing is a financially good thing to do for the government.
That's Douglas Councillor David Cretney speaking there about the inequality and increasing the number of social houses. Almost 16 minutes past five, and earlier this week, calls for the Chief Minister to withdraw comments he made about the former Health Minister weren't supported in Tynwald. A report by the Tynwald Standards and Members' Interests Committee found Alfred Cannon's comments accusing Laurie Hooper of fabrication and gaslighting in October were unacceptable. Chair of the committee, Juan Watterson, is concerned the decision to reject the report's findings means Tynwald has accepted a lower standard of debate. He's been speaking with Phil Gorn.
The work that the Tynwald Standards and Members' Interests Committee dealing with complaints about members is some of the hardest work that you can imagine, really, because it's not a pleasant, not a natural thing to sit in judgment on your peers and to try and divine what should happen in the grand context of looking at standards, parliamentary practice, in the context of our own history here and, of course, in the wider Commonwealth. That's always a really challenging thing for us to do, and we take it incredibly seriously, and hence the reports that we've produced on the back of that.
On the one hand, Laurie Hooper pulled a bit of a fast one on the council ministers, and particularly the chief minister, and said things that certainly the chief minister believes are just not true. The chief minister then had a little bit of time to ponder that before calling out Laurie Hooper. The issue for you was the unparliamentary language.
That's right. I mean, you know, Mr. Hooper is entitled to resign and say the things he wanted to say. The Chief Minister is entitled to respond to those things. The issue at hand, the only issue at hand really, was the language that was used. In the Isle of Man, I think we hold ourselves to a high standard when it comes to our dealings with each other, especially in the chamber. And so the use of the words falsehood, for example, gaslighting, you know, we've just passed legislation about gaslighting. It's a serious thing. My concern really is that what Tynwald has done is it has lowered the standard of debate and accepted a lower standard of behaviour when dealing with our colleagues. And this does give me cause for concern as to where we're going as an institution.
As Chair of the Committee and also Speaker of the House of Keys, Joan Watterson, speaking to Phil Gorn. You can hear more on that topic on Perspective this Sunday at noon.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, a few things to be aware of. The mountain road will remain closed between Ramsey and the Craignoe Bar overnight to a now newly repaired surface at Brandywell to harden and cure before being trafficked. The road surface will be subject to a final inspection mid-morning tomorrow. If all is well, the road will reopen by midday, so that's definitely one to be aware of. In the south of the island, the pre-TT races at Ballound start this evening, which means the Ballound circuit will be closing from 6 until no later than 9:40. Practicing and racing continues at Ballound over the weekend, with the course due to close tomorrow from 12:30 till 4:30, and then again from 6 till 9, and again on Sunday afternoon from 1 until 6. That's everything we're aware of, though. If there is anything you spot on your travels, do let us know. Text WhatsApp to 166177 or email studio@manxradio.com. Over at the Steam Packets, everything is looking okay over there. And at the airport, on the arrivals and departures board, everything is looking to time.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
For TT 2025, Manx Radio Motorsport is on the air. Qualifying and race coverage across the fortnight. The pre-TT Classic races from Balaun, along with the latest news, weather and travel. And wherever you're listening, we've got you covered. You can listen online at motorsport.manxradio.com or smartphone app at DAB AM 1368 and FM 87.9 in Douglas, Castletown and Ramsey. Also on 101.6 across the north of the islands. Manx Radio Motorsport, the best biking station in the world, brought to you by Kawasaki Insurance.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
20 minutes past five, and with TT fast approaching, Manx Care has confirmed how it plans to respond to what is typically the busiest period of the year for health and emergency services. Siobhan Fletcher joins me now. So what's being put in place to deal with the extra demand?
That's right, Christian. Well, the emergency department at Nobles Hospital will be bringing in extra medical and nursing staff to enhance its trauma team response and to make sure it can still deal with the usual volume of urgent and emergency care cases. They've also confirmed close coordination with UK-based trauma centres, those being Aintree and the Walton Centre, for those more serious injuries. Transfers to specialist hospitals will be done via Manx Care's air ambulance once patients are stabilised up at Nobles, or directly from the scene via the Great North Air Ambulance Service, which will be on standby to fly to the island.
OK, and what about on the ground here? Are other areas of the health service being reinforced too?
Yes, so orthopaedic trauma teams are being bolstered at Nobles with extra surgeons available every day during TT. Critical care and radiology departments are fully staffed and extra blood supplies have been brought in just in case. Over at Ramsey Cottage Hospital, their minor injuries unit will be fully operational, including extended X-ray hours to help ease that pressure on Nobles.
OK, and what's the situation with ambulances?
Well, understandably, the ambulance service is anticipating a busy fortnight and will be supported by paramedics and critical care specialists from the southeast of England. In addition to land ambulances, there'll be rapid response vehicles, critical care cars and the A99 helicopter, which can access hard-to-reach areas.
And in terms of signposting, is the public being asked to do anything differently?
Yes, so Manx Care is asking people with minor injuries or illnesses to use the Ramsey unit if they can, rather than turning up at Nobles. Most routine services like outpatient appointments and planned operations will go ahead as normal, but people are being reminded to leave plenty of time for travel, especially during road closures, because we all know they can be tricky, and to call the patient information centre if they can't attend their appointment.
Siobhan Fletcher there, thank you very much. 22 minutes past five now, and the 2025 Manx road racing season gets underway this evening for day one of this year's pre-TT Classic road races on the Balaun course. Phil Edge of the event's organisers, the Southern Hundred Club, has been explaining how good entry numbers are this time around and what makes classic racing special.
They're on par with last year. They might be, classes might be slightly less, but no, it's a good entry, excellent entry again, and lots of the top classic road racers are here, so that's good. And newcomers, they're slightly down in the solo classes, but they're up on the sidecars, which is encouraging.
On the solo side of things, one of the classes in particular you've had to make a change to because it's been so popular this time around.
Yes, the 400 classes now, which was very popular years ago with the 125s at one time, is now eligible. We're including those in the junior post-classic superbike races. That was sufficient for us to split it into two races, one for the junior superbikes and a separate one for the 400s. It's meant an extra race this year.
An uplift in sidecar numbers this year. What's maybe contributed to that compared to last year?
I think there were continental meetings last year that caused the numbers to be down slightly. But this year we've got two former winners coming back again. But then we've got the Continentals, got two continental riders coming over for newcomers, and altogether there's six passengers, all from Belgium, Netherlands, Austria and Sweden, I think. Yes.
What makes classic racing in particular at Balaun so special?
I think the mass start is one, and the sound, sights and sounds of the four strokes, particularly two strokes as well, which are missing now from the modern racing, and the closeness of the competitions. You know, they might all be friends, and once that visor's pulled down and the lights go out, that's it. It's everyone for themselves, and they give all.
How much nostalgia does it bring to some people from seeing bikes that maybe they saw when they were growing up?
Oh, I'm sure they do. You know, it's something about it. You know, know, you can go back to your youth or days of seeing the stars of yesterday and can reminisce with your fellow fans. It's great camaraderie.
Well, it's definitely going to be a busy racing fortnight. Unfortunately, the weather is not looking so great at the moment. Normally, we would be joined in the studio by the sports editor, Rob Pritchard, but he's actually down south at the moment. Let's put up this fader and say hello to Rob Pritchard. Rob, what can you tell us?
Faster Mike, Christian, yes, welcome to Cross Four Ways on the Balaun course, where we are hoping the first day of the 2025 Manx Road Racing season, specifically the 2025 Pre-TT Classic Road Races, gets underway this evening. Let's start with our sports report from where I am here right now at Cross Four Ways, because with this road racing season getting underway, hopefully in the next couple of hours, tonight marks the opening day, as I say, of the Pre-TT Classic Road Races. They run from today until Sunday. Opening qualifying is on the agenda tonight, with roads around the course currently due to shut at 6 p.m. First will be a newcomers familiarisation lap at approximately 6:15 before first practice for all solo and sidecar outfits. Roads around the course will reopen tonight no later than 9:40 p.m. And of course, an important caveat, all timings may be subject to change depending on the prevailing conditions and circumstances. Well, sticking with motorsport, Michael Dunlop, the most successful TT rider of all time, has had a corner on the Snaefell Mountain course dedicated to him in honour of his achievements. The corner, which will be known as MD's, is situated on the approach to the 27th milestone on the mountain section of the course. The location is in recognition of his record-breaking 27th TT win in 2024, which broke the previous all-time victories record set by his uncle Joey Dunlop back in 2000. Well, speaking on the new directional marker, Michael describes it as a genuine honour and a real privilege. 12 months ago, Michael also claimed two further wins to move on to 29 TT wins in total. And he joins a prestigious list, which includes racing legends Joey Dunlop, Giacomo Agostini, John McGuinness and Mike Hailwood in having a section of the TT course named after him. And finally, in athletics, Isle of Man athlete Dawn Atherton has earned a place in the England Masters squad competing early next month. The Western AC runner is one of 21 competitors selected in the V40 category to contest the Swansea Half Marathon on Sunday, the 8th of June. Specifically, Atherton will be part of the Masters representative race, which sees the 180-strong England squad as a whole take on Wales as part of the meeting. And it'll be the second time the Manx athlete has been selected for the Masters team. Separately, Atherton is also due to be part of the Isle of Man Athletic squad for the half marathon event for the 2025 Island Games in Orkney from the 12th to the 18th of July.
Sports editor Rob Pritchard there, thank you very much. Well, that's it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Siobhan Fletcher. Do remember, if there's anything you heard you want to hear in a bit more detail, head on over to manxradio.com. We've got a wide range of podcasts, including the Manx Newscast. Up next is Greatest Hits with Tom Kane. After that, the Kane brothers are in the hot seat from 9, and then Rhiann Evans has After Hours from 10 o'clock. Update will resume again from Tuesday next week, as there's that bank holiday. So until next time, take care. Bye-bye for now.